Now, I'm a big fan of Johnny Marr, but I must say I could not tell at all which track he is playing on. So, can you tell me which track he's on?
On two tracks. He's
Okay.
on Heaven and he's on Central.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess in Heaven, none of the guitars are me until the second verse. Like he's basically doing the first verse and the first chorus.
All righty.
And the first chorus is like a breakdown kind of chorus, if I'm remembering correctly. He basically does the first verse and the first chorus, and I do the second verse and the second chorus, and the rest of it's all me. And he's playing multiple guitars there, you know. He messed around a lot, and he basically, you know, we just had one night, so while he was here touring with Modest Mouse, so we just like he just heard the songs once and just fiddled around for a few hours, and then when we mixed, we figured out how to make it like work in the structure of the song. And that was our approach for all the songs, was to kind of record a lot of tracks and figure out in the mix how we were gonna. I mean, I say we, it was me, but figuring out in the mix like which instruments are going to be used in which section, and you know, doing a lot of tape edits and stuff like that. And then on the other one, Central, he did an acoustic guitar that's
Right.
like
Okay.
strumming.
Yeah.
And oh, wait, did I say Heaven? I meant Enough of Me.
Okay.
Yeah. Enough of Me is the one where he plays on the first verse and the first chorus. He played on Heaven, but we didn't use it. Maybe you
Okay.
should print that. But Enough of Me, he's on the first verse and first chorus, and on Central, he plays acoustic rhythm guitar, and
Yeah.
he did this really neat harmonic thing, a really interesting hand technique with, and it has some echo on it and stuff. There might be one other part on Central that he plays, but I can't remember. I haven't heard it in a while.
Now, did you give him any kind of direction, or did you just
No, and
play him the?
I that's the thing. Like I've kind of learned from making records for a long time that if you really want to capture a good energy on a record, it's best to just, first of all, to have only people playing with you who already would have a sense of what you're doing and are already sort of have a soul connection to what you're doing, you know.
Right.
You don't want to have somebody just because they can technically play, but you know, you want to have somebody who understands your point of view that you write music from, you know. And if you have that, like the best thing to do is to just let them do whatever they do, you know. Like, you know, there's a little like when Josh and I are doing stuff, we have a little verbal communication about it, but basically like he understands my music and knows where it's coming from, so I like to just let him do whatever he does, and then I just figure out during the mix. It's so easy in the mix. Sometimes when people are too quick to sort of judge something, like, oh, that doesn't work right for this section, or that's more than that's taking over too much. Like they're not using their heads and thinking ahead with how much you can do when you're mixing. You know, like with EQ and effects and treatments and stuff. You just wrangle it in there, you know.
Yeah.
You just sort of form it, and like I think when I was first making records, I was too quick to judge things just based on the first listen. And I've learned over the years that if you've got a good energy in the room, the spirits of music or the gods of music do their thing with it, you know. Like there's a plan that's much more elaborate and much more complex and wonderful than anything that you could plan out in your head, you know, if you just let the energies flow, you know.
Now,
So yeah, so I didn't say anything to Johnny. I was just like watching him come up with stuff was really educational, you know, because I've learned so much from his playing to see that he wasn't, because I come at playing from a real, you know, I the theoretical symbols for things are real prominent in my mind all the time when I make music. Even if I'm totally breaking all the rules and playing atonal notes and all that, I know what intervals they are, and you know, when I'm building chord upon chord, I know what the intervallic relationship is, you know. And with him, he doesn't have that. I think he just learned to play music from doing it and from playing along with old records and stuff. And he, you know, so to see the way that in his own mind he's created his own mental symbols for the same things that I use the theoretical symbols for, but you know, in so many ways I learned how to use things like 13ths and 11ths and ninths in a musical context from studying his playing, because he has really complex chord progressions in like Smith songs and stuff like that. And to find out that he's always been just sort of going by his instinct and going by his own mental pictures and stuff, it was really neat to watch it just fall into place, you know.
Now, I'm fascinated. Is it possible for a player as yourself to turn that off, though?
There's no reason to. Like, I think there's a period of time when a person first learns those things, it produces a kind of mental strain where the instinctual part of the brain isn't as capable anymore of dominating the brain, and the technical part ends up being overemphasized and taking up all the brain space you have room for. You use up all the brain power you have available to compensate all these technical relationships and things like that. But once it becomes the same thing as talking or something, you know, once it becomes the same thing as you know what the word man means, and it's not a strain to think of a man and to have the word man in your head, you know, there's just eventually they just become one thing. The symbol of the thing and the thing itself just become one thing. The word major third and the sound of it and the look of it on guitar just all become one thing in your brain, you know.
You might be using a bunch of different guitars on the album, but if I had to pick a predominant sound, it does sound like a Strat mostly.
Yeah, that's
on this
all
record.
I'm using. I don't think I played any other guitars. It's hard to remember. I might have used an SG on the solo of Central, but I think I might have just made the Strat sound like an SG with an English Muffin electroharmonics effect. I basically used all the same gear that I use in the Chili Peppers, you know, just the Marshall Major and Jubilee and my 62 Strat and my 57
right.
Strat.
There's so many cool sounds on this record, but if I had to pick one, it's the solo in the song Enough of Me. What
yeah,
kind of...
I think that's my favorite one, too.
There you go. What kind of overdrive are you using on that?
Yeah, I think that's an English Muffin, and I didn't play that through the Marshalls. I played it through a Fender Bassman.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get real low frequencies.
Yeah.
And wanted to be standing next to the amp and not be too far away from the control room. So that was that. Yeah, I was when I was on tour just messing around in my hotel room, I started to think of that style of playing. I was just messing around a lot with, instead of thinking of one note as one note that leads to the next note that leads to the next note, to sort of divide the guitar into pieces so you're playing low notes alternately with high notes that have, you know, a stretch of a couple of octaves at least, and then it forces your brain to have to sort of think in two directions at once, even though the notes aren't happening at the same time, which I remember on my first solo album I did a lot of that, where I was playing acoustic guitar parts where they kind of had a bass note and a high note that were at least like an octave and a third away from each other or whatever. But in this case, it's a single note guitar line, but your brain is sort of thinking of the whole neck. Once you do it for a while, you start to just think of the whole neck as one thing, and you don't stay in those boxy patterns that guitar players tend to stay in, you know. And so it was just a fun, like, at first it was just like a fun mental challenge to think that way, and then by the time I played it on the album, I'd been doing it a lot in my room. I did a little on stage, but it's so different from the way I normally play that I wasn't really enjoying doing it in the band.
Well, it's an amazing solo, just totally mind-blowing.
Thanks, man.